Have you ever reacted to a moment and then thought, why did I do that? Like your brain just shut off? If you feel stuck in patterns like snapping, shutting down, people pleasing, or spiraling under stress, this episode is for you. This isn't just about motivation or discipline. By the end of this episode, you'll understand what's happening in those moments and how to interrupt them before they take over. My guest today is Scott Abbott. His work focuses on the moment stress hijacks you and how to regain control without shame or overthinking. Now, why do smart people, self-aware people, still react in ways that they even regret to know? I was always wondering that, Scott. Now, can you tell us a little about that?
First and foremost, Stacey, thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate you and the show and everything you do. So I can't give credit to who I heard this from, but somebody once said, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your habits. And I think we all have good intentions, and to your point and to your intro, either to please or to accommodate, to be of service. And more often than not, we do so in more of a reactionary versus a thoughtful, confident, structured, I use the word systemic approach. And again, good intentions can actually get you into trouble. And so I just think that's, I believe most of humanity are good people, even up to 95%. Some people disagree, but I think most people want to do good. Now, some of us are more blessed and privileged that we've learned how to manage ourselves and be more self-aware, and we tuck in tools and concepts and disciplines to make sure we don't do silly things and get into trouble. So yeah, I just think it's the general nature of humans, and I think it's a positive reality, but it's also a reality that can get us into trouble individually and collectively, right? I think a lot of conflict and arguments and chaos happens, to your word you used earlier, when people again have good intentions, but they don't know how to technically or tactically or strategically overcome conflict or set good boundaries and have good agreement-based commitments. And that's what we try to do at the book Boss Up Moments, is to share the type of insights and strategic and tactical ways to help people actually be better at being people.
I love that. Now, Scott, your work basically focuses on the moment stress hijacks you and how to regain control without shame or overthinking. Now, so is this, it isn't just a willpower problem, it's a nervous system reacting faster than not logic. Is that true?
I think we all want a healthy balance of IQ and EQ, and that's not easy. Again, us silly humans. The Boss Up Solution Academy is all about helping companies and individuals have more intentional structure and strategy and organization so that they can proactively be more confident with alignment and again, overcoming challenges and recognizing opportunities in a more intentional, planned, cohesive way. That famous Nike ad, just do it. That might work okay if you just want to put on some shoes and go for a run, but if you do that with business and work and a lot of even things in life, right, you might find yourself in trouble. My mom had a famous line, stitch in time saves nine, right? If you're more intentional up front, over time you might find that you're actually going to decrease your concerns, your chaos, your expenses. So yeah, our whole passion, purpose, and cause is to equip companies and individuals with a simple, tailored, cohesive, we call it a business operating system, but that then extends to their life in a personal accountability system, and just to tuck in proven concepts, tools, and disciplines to just give them more confidence and hopefully joy, because when you're more confident and happy, right, there's more joy. When you're dealing with chaos and dysfunction, right, it's not always that fun or easy.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Now, why did you have, why do you have so much passion in this area? What motivated you to really focus on this topic?
I mean, I've been blessed to have a tremendous amount of failure, and I say that almost, without tongue in cheek, and success, And I've got a lot of stories, stories of near bankruptcy and considering myself to be a failure about 40 something, 35 years ago. I kind of screwed up and lost my way and in fact had to, kind of crawl back on my hands and knees and lived almost impoverished for 4 or 5 months in a dumpy hotel where the bed folded out of the wall, eating mac and cheese and stuff that I basically ripped off from the commissaries. So I've seen challenges. I've been blessed to actually live and work all over the world. I've moved around a lot. I've had to adapt and adopt. So I think again, thanks to that experience, that background in business and life, I don't try to tell everybody to that boss up will avoid mistakes because you don't want to, right? You do learn quite a bit from stubbing your toe and things going bump in the night. But ideally, if you can minimize or try to overcome in a more expeditious manner, right, the hiccups and the bumps and the bruises, it's going to be better. So I kind of have a fun little thought is that, wouldn't it be great if I knew then what I know now? Well, that's a silly expression because you can't change the past, let alone make it better. But what if I know now what I should know then, right? So we're taking our hindsight. It becomes insight, and then people get to use that as foresight to again, hopefully accelerate success and happiness and also minimize the challenges and the things that wouldn't go so well if they weren't helping themselves with good systems and structure and templates and frameworks, which is what we provide to just help them be more confident in business and life.
I like that a lot. Now, why do the reactions we have feel so automatic, like when they happen right before we can't stop them?
Well, I mean, back to humans, our DNA. I mean, God's got a sense of humor. I mean, I think we've just got a we're kooky and we're wonderful and we're challenged and we're very dynamic. And so, back to not only myself, but I've worked with hundreds of people. I've coached thousands of companies and been blessed to get a lot of insight and input. So yeah, I think the first rule of even being team oriented and others oriented is you got to take care of yourself. Some people take that out of context and see it selfless. I think taking care of yourself and making sure that you're as equipped and ready to go, I think that's actually selfless because you can't be here for other people if you're kind of messed up yourself. And work with a lot of business owners, I've heard this, like, I can't take care of my health and my well-being because I'm too busy taking care of other people. Well, you can't take care of them if you're not on this earth. And worse, and I see this with a lot of small business owners, frankly, without sounding, kooky here, right? Being not being on the planet's the easy way out, right? The hard way out, you get sick, you become a liability, a disability. Now you're like a triple issue. You can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your family, you can't take care of your company. So as counterintuitive as it sounds, you got to make sure that you've got a system for work and life. And ideally, you do so for almost like an insurance policy, but also because on the positive side, by having good, confident system structure and knowing what you should do, why you should do it, it just gets you through life that much easier as well. And again, I don't think that's our wiring as humans. So you need a little help on that one. And I'm not smart enough. Dumb farm boy from Indiana. I've been kind of blessed, but most of us just, even if we go to school, we're typically not equipped with some of what I call the essential concepts, tools, and disciplines.
Now, do you think your body is trying to protect you even when the threat isn't physical?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you know this, right? You tell me, but what is it? The fear, flee, fight? What
Yes. Flight
what's
or
the
fear.
yeah, right? So I think again, if you look back, you believe in evolution, right? We are being hunted by saber-toothed tigers. It's one of my moments in the book is the word safe. And I get it, right? We all want to feel safe and be safe. But I also think, especially over the last few years, it's almost been used in a manipulative way, almost a bit of a lazy way, right? Somebody could say that, but when you say, well, again, where's the saber-toothed tiger? Who's yelling at you? Are you physically and emotionally and verbally being abused, or are you just uncomfortable? So let's keep it real and say, hey, I'm just not comfortable. All right, well, let's figure out how to set better boundaries. And let's figure out how to be more truthful, but also keeping it real with what it is that you should do and why. And again, all these business terms like KPIs and OKRs, The reason why they get a bad rap is they're not explained properly. But,
Right.
I think at the end of the day, yeah, humans are just, we're humans. And we put on clothes and we get haircuts. So a lot of humans just don't look at their inside and their psychology, as you know, right? With the same type of ownership as they do sometimes their epidermis, meaning they're putting on clothes and combing their hair. You follow me? So
Yeah,
that's what
I
we're trying
follow.
to do is kind of have a, left brain, right brain, head, heart, purpose and profit and systems and soul and bring the two together, along with even AI today. I mean, that's one of the upsides of AI. If you own it and you don't let it own you, it can become an ally, a co-pilot, an asset just to help you have more insight and confidence and critical thinking. So, leverage the tools out there. Don't let the tools push you around is kind of my perspective.
I like that perspective. Now, why does this keep repeating after people promise themselves it won't happen again?
Well, Stacey, I think what is the average date that New Year's resolutions fail on average? It's like the third or fourth week in January, isn't it?
If that.
Yeah. If that, right? So I said earlier, I don't know who I give credit to, but you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your habits and your systems. And again, I just think, especially over the last 5, 10 years, maybe systems and structure and some of this verbiage we use in business has sort of gotten a bad rap. And as I
Yeah.
like to say, all systems are flawed. Why? Because they're ultimately put in and maintained by these things called humans. And
Yeah.
humans have egos and insecurities and desires. And so counterintuitive to a lot of people. And the founder of Four Seasons Hotel, Isidore Sharp, has a incredibly eloquent quote. And he writes, "Systemize predictable to humanize the exceptional." And if
Wow.
you think about that, it's what we teach, right? Repetition is the mother of learning. A lot of people don't understand when you standardize on the things that should be standardized, on the X's
Yes.
and O's, the ABCs, and you do that with standardization and rigor, it actually frees you up to
Yeah.
be more unique, to have more vibrant in the moment conversations, to be playful and to put your proverbial elbow grease on it, right? When you do the SOPs, the standard operating procedures with consistent rigor and quality,
Yeah.
counterintuitively, now it allows you to do so much more in life, right? Just like in business, it's not always about doing more. I call it addition by subtraction, doing less and being more efficient and effective. And yeah, a
Yeah.
lot of people, efficient, effective at home with your family. Yes, it works both in business and life. So again, I would just sum it up, us humans, we're flawed, but we're also, pretty cool at the same time. The challenge is how to bring the two together.
Yeah, I agree. Now, every reaction reinforces the pattern unless we interrupt it. Is that what you're trying to get across?
I ideally, where I go back to, you'd prefer to get ahead of it, right? Proactive versus reactive. If you think about it in medicine, right? When people say they reacted, it's typically negative. When they say they responded, it's typically positive. And so, yeah,
Right.
ideally, you want to make less mistakes and you want to get ahead of it. But if you do make a mistake, and we were talking about football, and I'm IU, by the time this is done, hopefully while people are listening to this, IU won the national championship. But you also hear this expression, call an audible, right? That comes out of football. And basically, what that means is they're really good on the playbook. They stick to
Yeah.
the X's and O's so that when things do go bump in the night and
Yeah.
things do go off track and things, whether it's COVID or you lost an employee or a key account, right? You're able to bounce back once you take care of that mistake or you harness that opportunity, then you get back on track and it's easier to get. Hit the ground running again. You follow me? So it's almost counterintuitive. Yes, it's to overcome obstacles and bumps, but ideally, you want to put something in place that has less obstacles and bumps by being structured around process and systems and these words that a lot of times get a bad rap, but they get a bad
They
rap because people aren't looking at them properly, is my opinion.
I agree with you. They work. They definitely work. If you put them in place and you really follow them, they do work. They 100% do. Now, what does this cost people when they don't learn how to interrupt these actions?
Well, I'm a business person, so I'm going to go a little have a little fun, right? Ideally, if you run a great company, I believe in things like activity-based costing and cost-benefit analysis and validation of ROI, both the empirical and the quantitative, but also the qualitative, right? So I
Yeah.
would say Over my experience, I mean, the tangible dollars that have been both lost and or missed, right? Because it's an end both on this one, like most things in life, because people didn't have structured, systemic, programmatic ways to build, run, and scale both themselves and their companies. I mean, gazillion, if I can use that word. And even on an individual level, if you were to do a self-assessment, and we've got assessments on our website, Boss Up Academy, and if you just Google or AI Boss Up, there's a lot of great tools that we have that are free that you can use to assess your situation and determine where what you should do with what we call the nine core competencies, right? But I would say on average, it's just because people aren't, again, humbly confident that they don't need to have all the answers. They just need to equip themselves with other proven approaches so that they can overcome those natural tendencies to either, be a little procrastinating, if you will, or indifferent. But yeah, the numbers are tangible, they're astronomical. And even on a small individual level, I guarantee you, if everybody just was about, 10% more effective and efficient, yes, in their personal life, it'd be amazing how much that could then be tabulated to positive income and just mindset and heart set. I think the numbers are very real and very tangible.
I agree. Now, is that where self-trust, relationships, and confidence start to erode?
Yeah, I think so. And again, one of the concepts out there that was made famous by Ronald Reagan way back in the day is trust but verify. And I think a lot of people struggle with that with employment and whether it's whether it's the you're reporting to somebody or you're reporting to them. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, just think about the world from planes to cars to, I mean, you live in Manhattan, you're in New York. Just think about all the things that if they didn't have, quote unquote, some type of system, I mean, talk about chaos and disorder. So again, I think a lot of this is mindset. And I think it ultimately, one of our moments is boundaries. And I think a lot of people struggle, parents, kids, and friends, to set good boundaries. And then the next thing you know, they start talking about politics or religion or something. And woo, it's like, holy cow, it's like you all of a sudden you're hating each other. You go, well, wait a minute, right? So we're all about setting good parameters, good boundaries, making sure that people understand again a better way to communicate and collaborate. Because yeah, I think our natural tendency is to jump to conclusions and point fingers and blame. And again, not saying that's again, I think we can attribute a lot to just being humans, but that shouldn't also be an excuse.
Exactly. Oh, I could agree 100% with that. Now, is it true that people don't need to fix their personality? They just need to catch the moment before the reaction takes over?
I think it's both, right? I think I've always struggled with this. I'm finding myself. You don't find yourself, you build yourself. You develop yourself. I mean, even in business, you may have heard the term, personal improvement plan. Well, ideally, if you're proactive, let's call it a personal development plan, right? And so yeah, I think again, I think on average, us humans tend to have these natural inclinations. That's just part of being a human. Just like, I mean, we're animals, just like dogs do and cats do and elephants and zebras and giraffes. I mean, in the book, I talk about adaptability, right? We've all heard of Darwin, and a lot of people get it wrong. They think it was survival of the strongest. No, it's survival of the fittest. And to be fit, you have to adapt and adopt and hopefully have a willingness to change, right? So I think it's a both. I think ideally we grow in to betterment. And I just hope that I've always said this, if when I'm done growing, I'm dying, right? So I want to still be growing at 90 years old, right? I want to be 90% where I should be by 90, right? And I just hope that that's again a mindset that even though you might not be in formal school anymore, and that's what the Boss Up Coaching Solution's about. You finish college or high school or you're in work, you can't stop learning. You can't stop developing. That's and unfortunately, this what you do, Stacey. I mean, you tell me. What percentage of humans after a certain quote unquote grade level or age kind of stop growing and learning and developing? What do you think it is?
I see it a lot happen when people start to retire. I see a big, I see a big decline. You have your go-getters after college, and you have the people who are just, they get plateaued in life and they just are happy where they are and they just don't want any more, even though they have the potential to grow so high, they choose not to. And then I see it again when people retire, they think that's it. And they just, some people just keep doing things and keep learning and keep exploring. And then you have a whole big group of people who just, lay on the couch and watch their TV shows and, maybe go to Costco's or Sam's Club or the, regular grocery market and get their food for the day. And that's it. And that's it for their growth, So I see it in both areas, but I love when I see people in their older age, like I know people in their 90s that are looking, oh, I think I need to get my eyebrows done. Oh, I think I need, I should be doing this, or I want to go here and I want to do that, and I love that. That makes me, I'm like, oh, if I get to that age, I want to be have that enthusiasm. I'm still looking at myself, still want to better myself. That's a great, personality, characteristic to have.
Amen. In business, you may have heard of the Peter principle, right? You rise to your highest level of incompetence, and contextually, that doesn't sit well with a lot of people, but it's true. But again, own your outcomes, right? I mean, this is not a Star Wars, Jedi mind trick, right? Yes, you may have, and some are blessed more than others with their physical well-being and their, sadly, there's bad things that happen to us. But I think, again, back to the heart set, mindset, philosophy, I'm very blessed. My parents are in their 80s, and they are still learning and growing and kidding with each other. I mean, it's great. So I'm fortunate to see that as an example. But yeah, I see a lot of people that just sort of not give up, but just start to get mediocre, right? Or procrastinate. That's another one. Back to the, I'll manana. I'll get to it later. Oh, okay, well, manana's manana, right? What's the famous line in the bar? The sign, right? Free drinks tomorrow.
Now, is there a window where choice is a comeback online?
Well, to your question, I would say we believe and almost preach that grace and grit, redemption, and you can always stumble and fumble, but get up, dust yourself off, apologize. First apologize to yourself and then apologize to other people. So if I understand your question correctly, and please feel free to ask or clarify, but I think, back to the word moments. It's a big word that covers a lot of ground, but also at the same time, right? Moments, if done well, create momentum, and momentum creates momentum. Jim Collins has a wonderful concept called the flywheel, and when you start to get that perpetual, you got a lot of good things that work for you. So yeah, I think if I'm answering your question correctly, that you have these, and sometimes you have to reboot, right? Just like a computer system. And I've been in tech for a long time. And I swear I've seen it where people start spending all this time, money, and energy, and they just really need to unplug the damn thing from the wall and let it fall down and plug it back in. Us humans are kind of the same. What do you think?
I agree. I agree. So I think sometimes we make things so much more complicated than they need to be. And instead of just taking a deep breath, take and just, catch your breath, clear your mind and think about, okay, what could I do to make this better? And I don't have to go, get to the point where I feel like I'm going to fall off a cliff. Unplug the thing. Wait 3 seconds and plug it back and let's see, maybe this will solve the problem. And then if it doesn't, then we'll go to level two and think about what the next step might be. But let's start from the floor up and instead of just jumping into it and thinking about the worst case scenario and then doing a bunch of steps that's not needed.
You bet. And in business, right? Issues, and by the way, in our world, issues are good and bad because often opportunities are disguised and you don't talk about them. But your point, a lot of the negative issues, it's amazing what happens week over week. They go away. Why? Not because you're throwing them, in the dustbin or come underneath the table. You just learn more and things settle down. My kids played travel soccer for a decade, and And the clubs have what they call the 48-hour rule, right? And that's because us humans, again, hey, you didn't play my kid. Hey. But, you know, 2 days later, when you pick up the papers, you see all the things going on in the world, you realize, ah, first world problems. You know, maybe I shouldn't be so irate over five more or less playing minutes. You follow me? And so I think a lot of times I love the word you use, that you got to categorize. And we do, again, not to overtoot our solution and what we teach, but you know, when you discern properly and you give good feedback and you do the good collaboration, you know, part of it is, you know, we should grade it. Where is it on the RPMs? Where is it on the category one or five? And you'd be amazed, ah, it's a category five. Is it really? Time out a little bit. And to your point, let's take a timeout. Let's take a 5 minute timeout. We call it a same page or a clear the air meeting and just make sure we're here. And if you look at what's going on in our country right now, again, I hate to say it, but I believe 85% of all this strife would be overcome if we just had a better way of recognizing the inputs and the outputs between one person and the other.
Exactly. Oh, I
And
agree.
again, back to us silly humans.
It could be so, the little things we do to solve things and could be so small. But yet they could be so powerful, and people don't realize that a lot of times.
Yes.
Now, what's the first thing someone should notice when they're about to react?
Right there, that they're about to react. And so, you know, I call these personal commitment devices. I actually did a TED talk that I thankfully didn't have to do. It's a long story, but I was supposed to do it. And this thing called COVID happened. So I shot the video. Believe it or not, I'm actually what technically is called an ambivert. When I'm comfortable with people like you, I'm pretty talkative and I'm happy to do this, but you put me into a party or a situation where I don't know people, I kind of clam up. That's kind of the split between extroverts and introverts, ambivert. But I would just say that it's always a bit of a struggle for people to again just come to this realization. So I call them commitment devices, and it can be a cross around your neck, it could be a ring, it could be a tattoo. I joke that my midlife crisis wasn't buying a Porsche, doing things, but I started, you know, a new company and got some tattoos. So something that helps you get out of your own darn way. And it just can't be theoretical. It's got to be physical. It's got to be touchable. It's got to be utilitarian. And I'm a big fan of that. I truly would with my clients, I tell them to paint walls and move furniture around, not make a lot of investments, right? But if you can't physically touch it, feel it, and again, we're looking for leading indicators, things that will proactively, actions and activities help us start or stop a good habit, right? Versus lagging, because when it's lagging, it's done. But I'm a big fan of physical manifestation. And so, you know, have some type of a device that again, and you know this, I think there's like three level of habits that take X period of time to start or stop. One's about 35 to 40, the other one's about 90, and the other one, you know, typically requires medication and therapy and, you know, more vice-like, right? So again, I just would say, you know, to keep it simple, put a device in your life. In fact, I give away poker chips that have some type of a mantra or theme put in your pocket. So every day when you put your wallet in or out, you say, hey, this is my thought for the day, right? Start or stop doing something. Do
I
you
like that.
have something in your world that you recommend to help people overcome their natural tendencies?
I always, I write notes. I write notes to myself. I write little stickies. I also keep a journal and I set goals and I set short-term goals and long-term goals. And I look at my weak, I have one page for weaknesses and one page for strengths. So then I look at my weaknesses, which is my bad habits and things that I really need to work on. And then I try to, focus on those because the strengths are already there. I accomplish that, give myself a pat on the back, maybe take a bath and with my nice essential oils and give myself a little, hi ho for that. But on the other side, these are things that I need to work on, and I remind myself of those things. And I don't overwhelm myself because when you most people cannot look at more than one thing at once. So if you start telling people, these are your weaknesses and these are what we need to work on, you're going to see people start to go cross-eyed. But if you mention one small thing and you don't give them a time frame to stress them out and just say, maybe write these things down and then give yourself a few days or a few weeks, whatever you need to try to work on each one until you get to that point. Then people start to become relaxed. And then honesty is key. We have to realize what those bad habits are and accept them, and then figure out tools and different strategies on how we can put them on the other side of the journal and make it a strength.
Yeah, well, I love it, and journaling, you know, for all you men out there, you alpha machismo, you know, I journal, you know, it's and you got to put it in your calendar, right? And you know, not to overtoot it, but back to the new book, each one of the moments, there's 40 in here, ends with five prompts, and it's really meant for journaling. If you want to use AI to complement, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just not comfortable. I don't know. Well, okay, start somewhere and then, you know, just keep moving forward, right? But I think journaling is a big one. I'm with you there 100%. Post-it notes. Again, I call these commitment devices. And no doubt there's a lot of people that aren't comfortable with it yet. In fact, I'm writing Boss Up Moments Volume 2. First one was called Catalyst, Volume 2 is called Advantage. And yet is one of the moments, right? Just imagine all the times that you're like, I'm not there yet. I don't know how to do it yet, right? And it's amazing, back to habits and formulations and formulas. If you stick to something pretty good through the good and the bad of sticking to it, you know, down the road you might be surprised, right? I ask this question all the time. Think about the last thing that you started doing that you're good at and what it took you to get good at it. Oh my
There.
God, it was horrible at the exactly. So, you know, I know we all want instant gratification, right? One of the many byproducts of social media and the world we're in, but the reality is, you know, things take time.
Oh, things
And
take
yes,
time.
us humans, patience is not a virtue for most of us, so.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say to you. Unfortunately, in today's society, because we get answers and we have technology, everything is brought to us right away. And that time frame of being patient, it has slowly evaporated, and nothing in my life, nothing in your life, I'm sure too, if I ask you and anybody's life that I've talked to, nothing good happens overnight. It takes time, but I always liked a challenge. So if something happened where it took it, it took me, there's things that took me a decade to learn and perfect. And I didn't give up because I wanted to learn it. I wanted to get it, and I think that's what people have to really think, is that they have to, time is a virtue, and time, and in order to achieve our goals, we have to give ourselves time. It's not going to happen overnight.
I mean, it's most things in the world are an end both. I mean, I do a lot of executive coaching, very high performance people you may actually know, but I have a little fun on the start of the call, and you know, again, repetition is the mother of learning, and I always kind of start with, hey, how you doing today? You want a kick in the shorts, a pat in the back, a little bit of both, and the answer is a little bit of both, right? We always gotta check our ego and our humility, in fact, at the back of moments, I actually so my coaches and us use 40 executive questions that I've come up with over the last decade, and we put that to the back, to your point, for journaling as well. And they should be challenger centric. You know, they should be provocative, right? If you're not sparked, then chances are it's just going to go by you, and you're going to be indifferent about it, right? So, and that's one of those counterintuitive things, is that, you know, Goethe, the famed German scholar, said, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." That's not always true. If you don't handle it right, you know, and Humpty Dumpty can't be put back together, right? But if you do handle it right, sure, it can make you a little more aware and tougher. And that's where, back to AI and technology today, I think you said it earlier, now more than ever, the importance of us to be better humans, and the humanization, if you will, is critical, because we're technically not digital, and AI and that is digital. So it is a compliment, not a rub, even though I get why people are feeling the way that they are. But I'd also say even more reason for us to be better humans. And to be better humans, we got to first recognize that we're flawed and we're imperfect. And seek to have, you know, books and material and people like you in their life to hopefully continue to learn and be better.
Now, what's a simple way to pause in the moment, even when emotions are high?
Well, I go back to commitment devices, and self-awareness is not easy. This is why I go back to the first one's about 90 days to get your head around the fact. To answer your question, I gotta pause first. One of my moments is poise, right? And poise is there's a science and an art to it. There truly is. And I used to be very reactionary as a younger guy. I mean, it was always, I'm my father's son and my dad's an engineer. So he was always, you're guilty until proven innocent. And I think I inherited that a little bit. But I've learned how to, again, stop, pause, and just say, hey, you got to be intentional about it, right? And back to, again, you don't have to go get tattoos or put on insignia, but I would just say it starts with you, to your point, journaling, writing a small piece of paper, and maybe it's just one word that says stop or slow or pause, and literally walk the earth with that in your pocket or in front of your laptop or whatever, and keep that there. You ready until it doesn't need to be there anymore, right? Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So I'm flawed, and so without some type of a physical manifestation of something that I'm supposed to start or stop doing, I don't trust myself. And so that's my answer. I just think even if you're smart and you're on your A game, right? I just think still figure out how to tuck in and incorporate some type of a visible validation of pausing or reflecting or discerning. And that's going to help you be able to do that way more than if you're just hoping it's going to happen, happenstantially. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So,
And
it's
then
kind
last
of
but not least, I would say you call me if you do know that you did something wrong, right? You said something stupid, you stubbed your toe. Here's another one that's almost like, really? You apologize.
yes.
The power of sorry, right? And being authentic and humble. In our Boss Up solution, we have a framework called CLEAR, and we use it for all of our sessions, whether it's one-on-one or group of facilitation. CLEAR is the pursuit of clarity, right? We want to be clear as possible for all the right reasons, but it's also an acronym, and it stands for collaborative, logical, empathetic, authentic, and resilient. And if you agree to those ground rules, first and foremost with yourself, let alone with others, wow, chances are you're going to go up that much higher on success and confidence and cohesion. You follow me? So again, some people call these hacks. I just think these are commitment devices. And so yeah, there's actually tangible things I would add to my answer, as well as one of the hardest ones for a lot of people is, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
Why do you think that is? Because you know what? If someone just recognized they're wrong and admit to it and just said, you know what? You were right. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry about that. Or I shouldn't have said it like that. I apologize. People would throw it over their shoulder and accept it, and there would be no negative emotions between that person, and you would go up the ladder really quickly. But for so many individuals, a majority of individuals, that those two words are so hard to come out of people's mouths.
I ego, it's been said we're the culmination of the five people in our life, but I think it starts earlier than that. Why do people support the Jets versus the Giants? Mom and dad, right? The neighborhood you're in. So I just, again, humans, DNA, but I think we all, and again, this is what I learned. I've made the biggest mistakes I've made in my life were because of reactionary, was because of getting triggered. Right. That's why I have such an issue with the word safe and triggered. I just want to, I'm not disagreeing that that happened, but I just want to unpack a little bit and say why. Was it just them and they're wrong or they're bad? Did you have a bad day? Right. You just got off, you got on the bed on the wrong side. Right. So again, our biology, I'd say, and that's why we always talk about the art and the science of how to be better with ourselves, because some of it is biology and some of it's artistry and just grooving that, hey, big scheme of things. You said this and I didn't like it, but I'm going to let it go. Now, there are certain times where you go, time out. We need to talk about it because the results, good or bad, can be very impactful, right? I mean, I say this all the time. If you were to fly from New York to LA and your GPS is off by one basis point, 0.001, right? You're going to end up in Seattle. As inconsequential as you may seem, see something, right? And I go back to clear, right? You may think this way, the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. Well, if you're one of those goofy New England Patriot fans and you look at that world, it's like, come on, he says with a wink, everybody, if you can't see me. I just think it's again humans, but back to why you and I are doing what we do in the world, right? I mean, it can be
Yeah.
silly, job security, but it's just most people don't get out of bed and say, hey, I need a systemic way to build, run, and scale. Hey, I need to embrace essential concepts, tools, and disciplines. It
Yeah.
just seems like that's bureaucratic but I would argue, in my experience, and back to my passion, is sharing with people that actually know it's the opposite. The
Right.
more consistent you are on running on rails, if you will, the more it actually liberates you and frees you up to be more independent and to be more present and to be more good, if you will.
Yeah.
Do the right things you should do consistently the right way.
Right.
So it becomes almost second nature. And then the other stuff becomes that much more fun and vibrant and where you should be putting your time and energy.
I agree. Now, after someone reacts, what's the healthiest way to recover without spiraling into shame?
Well, I'll go back to, I think the first one is to apologize to yourself, right? Because you may not have intended to do that. So give yourself a break, right? And you know this doing what you do today, right? Mental health and self-awareness and frankly, we beat up ourselves more than other people beat us up. It's true.
Yeah.
Now, not physically, like in a cartoon of, Tom and Jerry or whatever, but inside our brain. And so first one is make peace and give yourself grace. But one of my tattoos just saying is grace and grit.
Yeah.
Grace without grit can be very troublesome, right? Next thing you know, you just kind of start making excuses and you blame and you chastise, right? So you got to take ownership. You don't have to go all David Goggins and drop and do 25 push-ups every time you do something silly. But I'm
Yeah.
kind of a fan of that thinking if it's in the right environment. So I think the concept of grace and grit is key, starting with ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And say, hey, I didn't do well today. I wasn't my best version. I'm sorry. And we know in the world where perception is reality and you're expected to be on your game, especially if you're in a leadership position. But I would argue, unless you're a politician who never seems to want to apologize or whatever, right? It's amazing when you say I'm sorry with authenticity and you say, hey, I could do better and you lead with yourself as a servant leader.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people will give you grace. But again,
Yeah.
I'd say take that opportunity to emphasize now we got to get back to work, right? If we
Yes.
just sit around, in regret land, right? We got to have some resiliency and we got to move forward. And ideally, that makes you a stronger, better version of yourself, right? You with me? So
Oh, I'm
just having that matter of factness, I think, is key for yourself, first and foremost, and then extending that awareness to whomever you've either impacted or will impact.
I agree. Now, I want to, talk about your book. Your book is pretty amazing. Can you tell us a little about the book and what motivated you to, write it?
Again, I've been blessed to have seen a lot of things in life, and I come from a world 40 years in business. Implementing, industrial grade enterprise systems that historically can cost millions and take years, and at the end of the day, it was almost prohibitive. It was some of the big systems you see in Fortune 1000, and not just the systems, but how they can invest in learning and development, and how they can invest in employee engagement, and some of the things they could do that often was inaccessible, unaffordable for a host of reasons to start up small mid-market companies. And
Yeah.
so, not to overtoot our horn, it's kind of like the movie Honey, Who Shrunk the Kids, but I've been blessed to have seen a lot of good and bad. And so we just, compliments to a lot of phenomenal authors, the Jim Collins of the world, the Druckers, the Demings, the Lencionis, and some of the new authors like Brené Brown and Kim Sanborn and others, and people like yourself that are out there spreading good socio-psychological, awareness that wasn't and isn't taught in most schools. And the
Right.
idea was, boom, how can we consolidate and put this into a programmatic, tailorable, affordable, we think we have the most modern, flexible, and inclusive way to help people learn what we call, again, the essential concepts, tools, and disciplines. And to do that, our first two books is the Blue Book, which is really, think of like the chassis in the car or the foundation to a house. This is the mechanics, the engineering, how to build, run, and scale using the great operating system AI and coaching, not just a coach, but you think it like a coach. So if that's
Right.
the engineering, the mechanics, this is really the soft skills, the heartfelt side and the mindset side and the philosophy side. And yeah, so I was always like, well, having been there in the early days of the internet, how do we blend video and AI and journaling and good old-fashioned curriculum-based pen and paper? You know this. The
Yeah.
average human, when they use pen and paper, they hold on to something physical, are about 20 to 25% more likely to learn, implement, leverage, and benefit from faster than if they just did keyboard or they're just listening to.
Yeah.
So this duality of physical experiential along with gamification and technology, right? This three-dimensional way. And frankly, there really wasn't anything out there. And I don't think there is. So not to overtoot the boss up moment's horn,
Yeah.
publishing, it's been doing pretty good, especially I think in the L&D category, learning and development.
Right.
For 30 bucks for the book, in fact, I'm getting mail and I'm actually attending a couple of things over the next 90 days where people are buying 30, 40 books and basically invest in their employees that they get to not only use this at work, but take it home. It
Yeah.
can be brought into their home in terms of their life with their kids, and everybody can upskill and cross-skill, and especially because of AI today,
Yeah.
the importance of personal improvement and development is key. So yeah, it's been as I said earlier in our talk, it's been a labor of love, but the book is meant to really inspire insight and awareness and actionable, to this conversation we've had, right? Steps and procedures. I almost feel like I'm democratizing, if I could use that word, what historically has been inaccessible because of, again, especially with what's going on with higher ed and schools, they're just so expensive today. And the idea was, well, why can't we take some of these great concepts, tools, and disciplines and shrink wrap them, if you will, and put them into a fun, accessible way using video and AI and technology. And that's what we created with the Boss Up Coaching Solution Academy and the new book, Boss Up Moments.
I love it. And you said that you're working on a third book now.
Yeah, well, I've actually had two other. Well, first book was Level Up. It's basically a blueprint for young professionals that I wrote about 15 years ago. That did very, very well. Still used quite a bit in schools. Then I wrote a book in partnership with IBM called The Cofactor. Basically, it was a book to bring social media into the enterprise. I did a 28 city tour over 18 months with them using the book and the materials. Then Boss Up Blue and then Boss Up Moments. Volume one's called Catalyst because it ties into the main
Yeah.
chassis. And then I've almost finished writing. I've been doing both books at the same time for the last 5 years. Volume two called Advantage. And in fact, I'm in my basement office here. And some of the titles in this one are Purpose and Failure, Grace, Connection, Questions, Feedback, Resentment, Bummers, Regrets, Vulnerability. So it's really more of that, back to your world a little bit. I hesitate to say psychological, sociological, but it really is, how do we, back to AI and tech and the world evolving like it is, how do we just become better humans?
Yeah.
That old cliche, I wish I would have known then what I, well, you can't, you didn't. So, but now you can. So that's that hopefully will be out in the summertime. As you can tell, it's a labor. It's not just me. I've got artists and designers and gamification specialists. So trust me, this was a cooperative job, right? I might have written it, and admittedly, like all of us should, AI didn't write it. I wrote it, but the ability, instead of having three editorial staff, I was able to be myself and one of my editors, right? So we were able to be more efficient, effective. I think anybody who's not doing it, at least as a complimentary, is kind of missing it. So yeah, it should be out early summer, I hope, June or what have you. But we're on a 6 month, I don't want to call it a book tour of moments, but yeah, we're doing a lot of walkabouts, I think, as they say in Australia, with regard to this, and so far so good.
I love it. I love it. Now, where can people find your books?
So, not that Jeff Bezos needs any more of our collective money, but Amazon is the way. So, if you go to Amazon, all of my books are out there: Level Up, Cofactor, Boss Up Moments. Just put that in the search engine, you'll get it. We've also got some assets and resources and materials available through our Boss Up Coaching Solution Academy. So, if you go to BOS-UP.coach. You'll have access to our academy, and in front of the paywall, we've got videos and resources and learning material. And then I love connecting with people in my own social world. So My interwebs is Scott Abbott ABC. The ABC stands for Architect, Builder, Custodian, which are actually the first three moments in Boss Up Moments. I think if you're in business, you should think of yourself as an architect, builder, and custodian. I think you get the concept. But yeah, at Scott Abbott ABC, I'm pretty I like Instagram, I'm not gonna lie, and LinkedIn. So and then last but not least, Scott Abbott ABC.com. That's where basically everything that I do, companies, investments, my portfolios, if you will, are there. So more than you needed to know. Thanks for asking. But Scott Abbott ABC on the interwebs and bossup.coach and then Amazon if you want to get a book.
I love it. Now, if you take one thing from today, let it be this: you're not broken, you're reacting. And when you learn to catch it, pause it and reset. Everything starts to change. A quick question for your listening: when you're stressed, do you snap, shut down, overthink, or people please? Drop the comments in the comment box. I read them. And if this episode helped you, share it with one person who needs it. And I gotta say, Scott, this has been an amazing talk. I really love the way you think. I love how your perspective on really seeing the world for what it is and how you could actually make small tweaks and change it little by little. It's so important. You know, we get so stressed in life for so many reasons, and sometimes stress can really, you know, it does a lot to people. You know, stress is one of the main causes that illness comes about. Stress, you know, can stop you in your tracks, you know, from succeeding in life. It can, you know, cause many things, you know. And so, you know, your perspective on how to implement systems and how to implement, you know, different programs in your work, in your life, because everything you talked about from, you know, that you could do at work, really, you could do at home too, in your own life as well. And you can improve yourself, you know, on a personal level and improve yourself in your business life. And I think it's great what you're doing. I really love the book, how it's turned out. I think your perspective is great. I'm so glad you came on the show. I think you're an amazing individual with an amazing concept. And I think your way of thinking and your systems and how you break things down could help so many people. And I just want to say thank you for coming on the show, because I really got a lot out of this conversation and I really admire you.
Well, Stacey, if you can't tell, you make me blush. Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate being on the show. I appreciate the listeners that are out there. And you know, I'm not a big fan of promoting New Year's resolutions per se. I prefer habits. But thematically, I think if I can sum up a word that, to your credit, sparked me to say what I'm going to say, but is take ownership. And that word ownership, it doesn't have to be, you know, you've heard the expression, "How you eat an elephant, bite by bite." So start with something simple, start with something small. If you're an owner, it's pretty cool when you implement solutions that help your company and help the individuals. And then the individuals, when you go home, you know, as the expression goes, pay it forward. So, but it starts with ownership and realizing that without doing and committing, you know, you're going to get, what's the definition of insanity, right?
Exactly.
Ending over, expecting different results. So I do want to thank you sincerely, appreciate your time and having me on the show, and all the best to you and the listeners.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. And you have a great day.
You too. Thanks.